Friends, if you've got your Bible, turn with me to Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter. Remain standing and let's turn to Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter. We stand at Good Shepherd Savannah. We stand. Well, it's good for our bodies to stretch for a minute, right? Before we settle down for the message. But we stand more than anything to give honor and reverence to God's Word as we hear it proclaimed. So Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." And when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." And then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in. They choke the word, making it unfaithful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." Let's pause there and pray. Gracious God, we know we don't live. We can't live by bread, by human nourishment alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, our hearts that we could receive and live in your living word, who is Jesus. Amen. You can take a seat. Can I tell you a story about how God plants in one season for prosperity in another season? Can I tell you a story about how God plants in one season for prosperity in another season? Can I tell you about the abundance of God and the faithfulness of God over several years? In the year 2019, I say I moved to Savannah, but really I should say God moved me to Savannah. Literally, the only people I knew, the only people I loved, the only people who loved me in Savannah at the time were my in-laws, my Patty's mom and dad. God bless them. At no other time in history has a Methodist bishop made Catholic parents as happy as he did when he assigned, when he moved me and Patty, well, not so much me, but at least Patty and the grandchildren, to Savannah. And at that point, when we began this move and got here in the summer of 2019, Jesus started planting a Bible verse, a promise from Scripture in my heart. Does that happen with you? It doesn't always happen with me, but every now and then, the Lord will like highlight, it'll be in bold print, And I realize it's a promise for the moment that I just need to hold on to. And he laid this promise on my heart. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Y'all, that's the Good Shepherd passage if you don't know your whole John's gospel. John chapter 10. The thief comes, the enemy, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Some translations say that you would have life and have it abundantly, have it in abundance. The Lord put that verse deep in my heart. He drilled it in me. I found myself sharing that promise with lots of people. I wrote it out. I printed it out on some bookmarks and gave it to people in Bible study classes I was teaching. John 10:10, I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Y'all, I'm not always obsessive crazy. I'm usually calm, but I even put on my phone, I put alarms. It's John 10:10. I put alarms on my phone at 10:10 a.m. and 10:10 p.m. so that every day, and I'm only a little crazy like that, not 100%. So if that's too crazy for you, just forget about this part of the message. But if you need to know I'm crazy, you got that part right there. So 10:10, twice a day, I was all, Lord, life in abundance. Abundance. And when I worry about things today, y'all, in 2024, when I worry about things today, like, where are we going to put everybody on Easter? I don't know. When I worry about things in 2024, I stop and I'm amazed. Because I know in 2019, God was already thinking about 2024. He was already preparing for abundance. He was already preparing for the future in the past, and that is a sign of His faithfulness today. Because somebody here came in this morning, and you're already worried about today and tomorrow. And you're wondering about a promise of God's goodness or a promise of His faithfulness. And there is some question right in front of you right now that seems so complex. It seems like all the yarn is tied up, all the wires are crossed up. You don't know how you're going to get from here to where you need to be. And so I want to just tell you from my testimony that God is planting. He has already planted in the past to bring you to a place of prosperity and abundance today. And friends, I think this scripture, this parable, this story that Jesus tells in Mark's gospel helps us see this even more. Because I think some of you are living in a place where you feel like the birds. There may be seed that has been sown, and you feel like the minute you relax a little bit, the birds come and they're eating up all the seed. And as soon as you saw the seed, you look away and you look back and the seed's all gone. And you're like, Lord, how is this ever going to come together for me? I want to remind you today that our God is a God of faithfulness. And our God is a God of abundance. And He's ready to plant. He has already planted in the past so that you can experience prosperity today. And He is planting in this season today so that you'll experience joy and prosperity in the next season. Y'all, in Mark's gospel, we're continuing to look. This is really the first real teaching segment of Jesus' ministry that we see in Mark's gospel. We've seen already just kind of a fast-paced walk through Mark. He's healing people and he's forgiving people. He's doing all kind of things to all kind of people. But at this moment, he pauses to teach about the kingdom of God. And as he pauses to teach, he doesn't forget the invitation. He's not just throwing a lesson out so you can look at that and do the color sheet and take that home and put it on the fridge. He wants you to know. He wants you to know he's making a claim. He's making a claim of authority. Jesus wants to be the king. He didn't want to just have a place in your life. He wants to be the king of your life. And he's demonstrating this even in this teaching. The sower, now this is a hard sermon to preach. Mark 4 is a hard sermon to preach because Jesus tells the parable and then he explains it at the end. So I'm like, well, what's my even job? You know, well, that's not even, if I just read it out loud, you've already got the whole thing explained. This is just extra, okay? He's already told you, the sower who's sowing the seed, that is the Father. That is God Himself who is sowing the seed of His Word, sowing the seed of His faithfulness everywhere He goes. Y'all, do you get this? This sower, this farmer, he is, y'all, he's wasteful. He's reckless. Now I know, I read the history, and this is apparently, this is the normal way of sowing in the first century. There wasn't a whole lot of arable land that could be planted, and so you had to sort of pray and plant and hope. I mean, that something would grow somewhere. And so literally, they would go and they would sow the seeds and just sow everywhere, and then go along back with not really even a plow, but really a stick, and sort of carve grooves with hope that the seed would go down in the grooves and then germinate and sprout. And so they were reckless in the sowing the seed. But I think there's still a call here, a reminder that God is so good, that God is so faithful. He has so much with which to bless you that He always sows in abundance. He always oversows. God over blesses. And I know we live in these moments sometimes where we feel backed up against a wall, where things seem lean. But I want you to see again, before we even get further in this story, I want you to see that God is an abundant God. I want you to see that He continues, just like He says in John 10:10, I come that you would have life and have it in abundance. This story illustrates God's continued desire to bless, to provide life, to provide truth and grace and mercy. And He tells that so many times. Jesus tells another parable. It's recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, about a father and a son who has abandoned his place in the family, who's all but wished his father were dead, and then the son comes to his senses and comes back. And the father in that story, the father in Luke 15, the father is reckless in his love for his son who has returned. We even have that, you know, we have that phrase, he killed the fatted calf. We still say that, right? It's a phrase. It's an idiom in 21st century English when we want to talk about celebrating, pulling out all the stops. That father who had all but given up when the son returned, it was such a welcome. There was such an abundant blessing. We've already seen it in Mark's gospel. Jesus heals, He restores, He forgives, He brings freedom. And I want you to know that this morning. I want you to know God's always listening. He's always listening. God is today sustaining creation. If God ever ceased to be, everything we know would collapse, would fall apart, would cease to exist. God is always working for His children, always providing. And too often we live having forgotten that truth. I have friends who years ago adopted a son from an orphanage in Russia. He was only 2 years old when they came from Russia to the U.S., got their son home to Georgia. There were tons of challenges that you could imagine bringing a two-year-old from a different country, from an orphanage to the U.S. There were challenges around language. There were challenges around habits and around hygiene. Y'all, one time the mom had gone up, the kids were off somewhere else. The mom had gone up to clean the little boy's room. And the mom got to the room and there was a smell. Moms of boys, you've done that, right? You get to the room and there's a smell. And sometimes you just, honestly, sometimes you just have to wait till they grow up and leave and then like bomb the room and then start over again. I mean, I may or may not have experienced that. May or may not have experienced that. But you get to the room and there was a smell, and then there was some investigation around the room and there were crumbs. You have a rule? Can kids eat in the bedroom? There were crumbs, and she investigated some more, and there was a hidden stash of food. There was a hidden stash of food. In the orphanage, even at 2-3 years old, he had learned that he never knew for sure when the next meal might come. And so whenever food was offered, he would set some aside. He'd stuff it in his pockets and he'd take it back and hide it. Not just hide it for the future, but hide it from the other kids. So that on a lean day, he'd have a little extra sustenance. Can you imagine this? He's living in suburban America. There is plenty on the table for every meal. There's a pantry door that doesn't have a lock on it that he has access to. A fridge that is always stocked. And he's a beloved, chosen, valued, adopted son, and yet somewhere in his heart, he's still an orphan. Somewhere in his heart, he was still an orphan. Children of God, if you have followed Jesus, if you've taken him up on the invitation to know him and love him, if you recognize that God, in the tenderness of his mercy, has stepped in to fill a gap that we could never fill, to take a wrath that we could never wash away or satisfy, to forgive sin that we could only imagine escaping. Friends, if you know that Christ has already come to you, and you've believed and you've trusted in him, then I want to urge you, friends, don't continue to live as an orphan. Don't continue to live as one who is separated from the abundance of God, when that abundance is always available to you. Jesus even said it. He might have known. You think Jesus knew we would struggle like this? He told his disciples at the Last Supper. He told his disciples, he said, at that moment before he went to the cross, he knew his disciples might get into the darkest of darkest moments in those days or weeks or years or centuries. And he said this to them. He said, I will never leave you as orphans. Check me on it. John 14:18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will come to you. I wonder if the disciples, when they heard that, I wonder if something clicked and they're like, oh yeah, like the farmer with the seed, always sowing abundance. I'll feel alone, but I'll know he's there. We know Peter didn't get it, you know, because Peter just hours later were like, Jesus? Jesus who? Never heard of the guy. Never heard of the guy. Peter chose to be alone, to be an orphan, instead of to know that he had a father who cared for him. So this is the abundance of God. There is an abundance of opportunity to encounter God. In God's economy, can we use the word economy? Just that system of how God provides and distributes what is needed in grace and in provision. I think we can use that. What God has made abundant, He has also made redundant. There is so much. There is extra. Isn't that why we see this in this parable? The farmer went out to sow his seed. The farmer sows the seed. He sowed it everywhere. He wanted to make sure there was opportunity for everyone. There is plenty, and there is plenty, and there is plenty of plenty in God's communication of His own grace and mercy. What God has made abundant, He also makes redundant. We have to maybe define redundant. In some parts of industry today, redundancy is bad. That means you have too many people in the same job and someone gets let go. Right, we have redundancies. That means we have too many people. Somebody gets the pink slip or moved to a different department or something. But redundancy can also be a good thing. Redundancies are when there are backups to systems so that the system can continue to operate in case of danger in one place. Example, the hurricane shuts down the Savannah office, but you have an Atlanta office that can continue to run. That's redundancy. Your business is not destroyed because there's danger in one spot. One of my children worked for a while for a financial services company. They had all of their data backed up, not just in the cloud. All right, you know, right, there's not really a cloud. It's just somebody else's computer somewhere else. It's not really a cloud. It's not in the sky. But there were cloud backups. There was backups so that their financial services data could continue to operate. Everything was backed up in multiple places here in Georgia. But they had other locations where the backup, every 15 to 20 seconds, y'all, all the data was backed up somewhere in the Midwest and somewhere out in Colorado. There were backups and there were backups to the backups. If something happened, if it was like a bomb went off, everything could continue going. We know what happens, right? I mean, even this week. Wasn't there a day this week when somebody's cell service, one of the big providers, went out? It made you wish you still had your landline. I don't have a landline. Who? Somebody. Some people still have landline. Maybe that was you. No redundance. We won't. Here's the point. God is in the redundance business when it comes to abundance. He wants to bless here, and if you don't get the blessing there, He'll bless right here. And then here, and then here. And even when you think you're at the end of your rope, and you come to your senses and you think, oh, I missed the blessing, there's one more, don't worry. He's still ready to meet you and provide for you. God is always sowing seed. He's always revealing His goodness. He's always planting the Word so that you'll have a path to live in abundance, in wholeness, and holiness. But notice what Jesus says. He taught them many things by parables, and in His teaching, Jesus said, listen. You get that? Jesus taught with parables, and in His teaching, He said, listen. And when He gets to the end of the parable, He says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Same word. We translate that a little differently because we mean different things with hearing and listening. Are you taking it in? That even is the, I mean, that's the parable, right? Because some of the seed gets taken in and some of it doesn't. Jesus tells the parable to give us the point about receiving His abundance, the abundance of His Word, and living in that. And He also gives it as instruction on both sides of the parable. The parable is about picking up the Word, listening, receiving it. And He says, listen. Did you listen? And even the disciples. I mean, actually, everything Jesus does, everything He does in this parable lines up with the teaching of the parable. Do you get that? There were so many people who wanted to hear Him that He didn't just talk a little louder, or He didn't say, come back tomorrow and I'll teach you. He did the best He could in the first century to create as big a space as possible so that everybody could hear Him. He got on a boat and He went out a little ways into the water, and so the lake sort of became the natural amphitheater that would reflect His sound, the sound of His voice, to all those who gathered on the shore of the lake. The farmer went out to sow his seed. Jesus demonstrated in His physical body, in His physical approach to teaching, He sowed the seed as broadly as He could. But you notice this, some of the folks, they scratched their head and maybe went home. The Bible says, when He was alone, the 12 apostles, 12 disciples, Jesus' inner circle, the 12 and the others, so it wasn't just limited to the 12, the 12 and the others asked Him about the parables. They were scratching their heads. They were going over that again and again. The seed had been planted, and they're like, I can't get this out of my mind. I want to understand this. I want this seed to grow and bear fruit in my life, and I can't let go of it. See, he's already illustrating. I mean, what Jesus does demonstrates what he's teaching. Some folks hear and go. But there is redundancy. There are multiple ways he tries to communicate. The Bible itself is full of redundancies. We have four gospel stories, four biography stories of Jesus here at the beginning of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're focusing on Mark. You read all of them, you get a full story of the life of Jesus. But you know, I'm not telling you not to read the other ones, but you could get by with one. If suddenly you woke up and every Bible in the world only had one gospel in it, friends, we could get by. We could get into heaven because there's redundancy. The story is told enough times that we could continue to serve in love. You know, I think sometimes the number of churches, I hear people say this, the number of churches and denominations and histories, that's a scandal to the gospel. I wonder if it's a scandal. If we treat it like a scandal, or if we treat others with scandalous hearts, then that's a scandal. It's not a scandal, though, if we think about it in terms of redundancy, in terms of abundance, in terms of there being multiple outposts of the kingdom preaching a singular gospel so that people will come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Sometimes it'll be high church and sometimes low church, sometimes formal or casual or this music or that music. When we were overseas in Central Asia, we had to make sure we had songs and services in two different languages, in Russian and in Kazakh, because we wanted to reach all the people we could. The ministry had to be redundant. I have a friend here in Savannah, Jinwon Park. Jinwon is the pastor of the Korean Methodist Church over on Whitfield. Y'all talk about redundancy and talk about God planting in the past for prosperity in the present. Jinwon's been there at the Korean Methodist Church for over 6 years. He was there helping to grow that church and strengthen that church long before the Hyundai Corporation decided, just like a Methodist bishop decided, Tuckers need to go to Savannah. The Hyundai Corporation decided tons of Korean people needed to come to the coastal area. Y'all, they are busting out at the Korean Methodist Church over there. They got folks from Pooler and Guyton and Richmond Hill who are coming to worship and grow. Why? They wouldn't come here, I don't think. My Korean's not really good. Their worship service is passionate, but it's a little more formal. Jinwon, bless his heart, I couldn't do this. He writes his sermon in Korean, and then his daughters help him translate it into English. And he preaches it in Korean, but they have copies run off in English so that if you're not a good Korean speaker, you can read it in English while he's speaking it in Korean. How about that? Talk about redundancies so that the gospel is communicated, because they know they're Koreans that'll come and they're Anglos, English speakers that'll come. Redundancies in communicating the blessings of God. Y'all, the farmer went out to sow his seed. I'm still there, and it's 9:38. This isn't good, Sam. Sorry. I was going to make this a two-part sermon, and I probably should have. All right, I'm going to skip quick. Some of the seed goes on the path. Some of the seed goes on the rocky place. Some of the seed goes on the thorns. I mean, my first glance is to say, God, why even bother with that? Why even bother with that? That's a reminder that I'm not as good as God is. I'm not as wise as God is. I'm not as patient as God is. God sows abundance of opportunity. He sows abundance of opportunity so that no one anywhere will ever have a reason to say, I didn't hear. I didn't get the message. I didn't see something. We can unpack that another time for places maybe who haven't had direct testimony to the gospel, direct testimony to Jesus. On the one hand, it's a motivation for us to get out there and get after that in those places. Let me pause just for a moment. I hear Spirit's telling me not to skip this because I could tell when I read it. That third patch where he sows among the thorns, note what Jesus says the thorns are that choke out the word of God. It's verse 18 and 19. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, that's just ordinary stuff. Getting to work, getting the bills paid, buying clothes for the kids. Oh, the worries of this life, the last one, the desire for other things, but it's that middle one, y'all, the deceitfulness of wealth. It's not wealth. Wealth is not the challenge. It's the deceitfulness of wealth. It's the deceitfulness of wealth. The idea that wealth will cover over or take care of everything. I've heard people saying that if the Apostle Paul was still around and if he saw what was going on in the church in America, that we'd be sure to get a letter soon. And I wonder if that might not be the first thing that he'd be, probably the second thing. He was always nice at the beginning, and then he'd get to the tough stuff. But I wonder then if the second thing he'd tell us was about the deceitfulness of wealth and how we think it covers things and it solves things that it never will cover. Y'all, let me tell you, let me jump to the end and just tell you this about the good soil. Here's the deal. Some people call this the parable of the sower or the parable of the seeds, but it's also the parable of the soil. You want to be the right kind of soil. How do we live in the right kind of soil? I think we live in three ways. We live by participation. We want to receive that. We want to receive that seed and continue to grow. I don't want to say you save yourself. You don't get yourself into the kingdom. But when God offers you His mercy, you want to take it. You want to take it. Don't leave it sitting there. You want to take it. You want to continue with patience. What we see is that the seed is sown in the ground and then it has to germinate and grow. That takes time. That takes time. Be patient. I watched a Y League basketball game yesterday. Our team went up easy, got up 12, 15 points, and then the opponents came back. And we had to be patient. Our guys had to be patient and play the whole game. The whole clock had to run until the very end. We have to be patient. But we're not patient passively. We're patient with perseverance. We have to continue and press towards the end. Sometimes that's hard for us because we don't see immediate victories. 1923, you know the name Babe Ruth? Even if you're not a baseball fan, you know the name Babe Ruth. In 1923, Babe Ruth set a major league record. He set a major league record. His record, the most strikeouts. It's true. He set two other records that year. He had the highest batting average and the most home runs. We know him for those two. We don't know him for that third one. He had the most strikeouts. Y'all, those records go together. You don't get the highest batting average. You don't get the most home runs without the most times at the plate, without the most times trying, hit, swinging and swinging and swinging, even if you don't hit. And it takes perseverance. It takes perseverance. Those things go together. Some of you today, you need a reminder. You need a reminder of God's faithfulness, of God's abundance, that He hasn't given up on you, that He's still sowing seed that's available to you, that He still has you on His heart and He has you on His mind. And I don't want you to leave today without knowing, without settling that truth in your heart that God really is planting for prosperity, for a prosperous life in you and for you. And friends, some of you, I want to remind you about perseverance. I want to remind you not to give up. In light of God's abundance, in light of His faithfulness, I want you to dig in perseverance. I want you to dig in perseverance. When you see that footage on the Weather Channel, the storms and that Jim Cantor or whoever, he's always got like, he's planted his feet and the wind is blowing. Right? But he's leaning. in this way so he doesn't get... I want you to know you have to live life like that sometimes. There may be winds that blow against you, but I want to tell you that by the Spirit of God, because of the word that God has planted in your life, he's strengthening you to lean like that. And when you lean in perseverance, you can't help but find a harvest of God's faithfulness, 30, 60, 100 fold. Y'all, if that's you, if you need a reminder of God's abundance, if you need a reminder of God's willingness to meet you in perseverance, I'd love to pray with you today. I'm going to stay down front even after the service is over. Come this way instead of that way, and I'd love to pray with you today. Let's pause now. Father, we love you and we're thankful for the fact that you continue to sow seeds of abundance in our lives. Father, open our eyes to what you're doing right around us so that we can receive and live in your living word, who is Jesus, who is abundant life, who is truth, who is hope. Amen.